As we went caroling yesterday, one of the songs we sang, I think in each of the places we stopped, was the song Deck the Halls with Boughs of Holly. And one of the lines in that song that I guess struck me kind of sharply yesterday, one of the lines was, "Fast away the old year passes." And I was laughing with Sister Susan as we were leaving. You know, there's only 20 days left in this year. We're in the middle of the season of Advent. Just started right after Thanksgiving. Today's the third Sunday in that season, and we're passing through so very quickly. We go through our days, we go through our weeks, we go through our months, and it seems like they go faster and faster and faster. Today is a Sunday which has been designated by consideration. There's nowhere you'll find this in the Bible. There's nowhere you'll find any of them designated by name. But in terms of consideration and focus, the third Sunday in Advent is often considered to be either the Shepherd Sunday or the Sunday of Joy. And really, when you think of it, those two are pretty much synonymous, since the angels told the shepherds, "I bring to you good tidings of great joy." But I want to ask you to think with me today about the shepherds, and not just what they heard, but what they did. What they did when they heard the message, and what they did after they had seen the promise of that message. I want you, if you will, please, to turn with me to Luke chapter 2. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 8. These are familiar verses to us, but I want to read down through verse 20. And particularly call your attention to some verses, some words in verse 20. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night." Now the same country is the area immediately around Bethlehem. "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen, they had heard and seen, as it was told to them." Now, in reading this passage of Scripture, I would like to call your attention to two places. We'll go back to them in a minute, but I would like to call your attention to verse 17. It says, "And when they had seen it," that is, when they had seen Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And then in the last verse, it's in verse 20, they let it be known the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Now what they saw was marvelous. What they experienced and what they witnessed was rare. What they had happened to them and what they heard and what they witnessed in the heavens above them would have given them plenty to talk about. What did the angels look like? What did they sound like? How loud was it? How bright was the light? Just think of some of the questions you might have asked them when they related their experience. What I want us to focus on today was that what they talked about was not just what they experienced, but the emphasis of what they talked about was what they were told concerning this child. You see, there was a message sent to them. There was a messenger who delivered it, and the scriptures make it plain that the message was from the Lord. I want us to think together for a few moments this morning of how important it is for us to think about the things we are told in the Word of the Lord. The message of the Scriptures, the joy of Christianity, the joy of our experience give us a lot to talk about. The good times we share, the fellowship we share, the singing that we do, the visits that we have, all of those things in our experience. But folks, the most important thing for us to share with somebody else is the things that we are told in the Word of God regarding Jesus the Christ. Now I want you to think with me about the background just a moment. Luke records this sequence of events, and he's the only one who records it out of the four. And he shares some background about what led up to these verses and this meeting with the angel and with the host of angels. But I want you to notice that there's a couple of things importantly demonstrated to us. First of all, I want you to notice how God uses even the most unlikely resources to accomplish His purpose. If you go back and remember what's recorded for us in the first verses of Luke chapter 2, before Mary brought forth her son, we're told that the governor, the Roman governor, had declared a taxation. The Romans had proclaimed that every family, the head of every family, had to go to their city and register their family and pay a tax for each person. Now all of us are acquainted with that idea of starting on January 1 every year, from January 1 to April 15, that word tax. And taxes are words with which we're real familiar and yet not real pleased. What I want you to notice is that God used the declaration of a government who had no concern for godly things to accomplish God's divine purpose, because that declaration moved Joseph and Mary from the city of Nazareth up around the hill country in the north of the land of Canaan, down to the city of David, which was Bethlehem. God had said that the Messiah would be born in the city of David. God had promised in the Old Testament, and particularly in the book of Micah, "Blessed art thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah. Blessed art thou among nations, for out of thee shall he come who would be governor." Now, how did God get Mary at a time when she was well along in her pregnancy? How did God move her and convince her and convince Joseph to take a journey when it was just about time for her to have the baby? Something logically we would have argued against, and all of us would have found numbers of reasons not to. We can't make that trip. We'll go down there and see them. We'll go back to the family home place after this baby's born. Now's not a good time. What did God do? God used the proclamation of a government to bring to the right place at the right time what God had said was going to happen. What I want you to notice with me today in this story of the shepherds and of what happened in Bethlehem is that when circumstances are going on in your life, and sometimes they don't seem to be the most logical, they don't seem to be the most pleasant, they don't seem to be the most desirable, when they're going on, rather than focus just on the circumstance, look for what God's going to do in those circumstances. Because He brought Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem, and it came to pass that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should bring forth her firstborn son. Now, God had Joseph and Mary travel. But when He got them there, they found lodging in the only place that was available, but it was the least likely place to want to stay in anticipation of the birth of a child. How many of you ladies would want to, knowing that you were within the last days of your ninth month of pregnancy and you were going along expecting that most any time, and somebody to say, oh, you're going to have the baby out in the barn. Even when circumstances are the least likely situations, God brings His plan to fulfillment. He brought His Son into this world. He brought His Son, whose name would be Jesus, who would be God with us, Emmanuel. He brought Him into the world to lay Him in a manger. Had He born in a livestock barn or stall, laid Him in a feeding trough, not exactly the place you would expect for the God of heaven. And yet, that's exactly the message the angel gave to the shepherds. Joseph and Mary found lodging in the manger or the barn, and the shepherds were told that they would find the baby and they would identify the baby by two things. You know, I would be reasonable, I think it would be reasonable to assume that there was a real possibility that Jesus was not the only baby born in Bethlehem that night. Not the only newborn around town during that period of time. People had traveled, there was a lot of people in Bethlehem, the taxation was going on, there may have been other infant babies born. But there was one that they were to look for. They would find Him, first of all, in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, wrapped in the softest, best prepared thing that a mother could have to care for her child. Folks, I'm going to tell you, there's a principle set in just that ought to be tremendously important for us. And that is that the things that are told about Jesus Christ, the messages that are given about Jesus Christ in His Word, are the identifying things which we ought to look for about Him. People have come up with all sorts of ideas about what I think Jesus was, what I think Jesus said, what I think Jesus... Folks, what you said, what you think, what I think is not important. The thing that's of importance is what they were told that God said. You shall find the babe. And here's how you'll know Him. You'll find Him, and you'll find Him wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Don't settle for somebody in the end. Don't settle for a baby that might be on the first block you come to. Don't settle for the wealthiest baby in town. Don't settle for the biggest baby in town. You look for the one that's in a manger. You see, folks, God has always given us specific identification about His Son Jesus. And men's ideas don't change what God has said. Now, verse 17. When they had seen it, they got there. Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's go see this thing that's been made known to us. They got there. They saw it. They saw Him. But they saw it. They saw the reality of all of the identification. They saw the scene of Mary and Joseph and the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in that manger. When they saw that. Now, when they saw it, they made known abroad. They told everybody what it looked like. They told everybody how much hay was around there. They told everybody about the animals that might have been in that. No. What they made known. They told people what they saw. Verse 20 says they told what they saw and heard. But they made known the sayings that were told them about this child. Folks, what I want you to understand with me today is the importance of the things that we are told about Jesus Christ. The things that God sends to us. How does He send them to us? Right here. Y'all take a good... You want to see an angel? In the Scriptures, the whole idea of an angel is as a messenger. Now the appearance of that angel that came to them was a marvelous appearance. But there was the glory of the Lord accompanied that angel. The light that was around about them was a startling thing. But if you look in the book of the Revelation, chapters 1 and 2, Jesus said to John that he was to write to the seven churches of Asia. And he said, and to the angel of the church at Ephesus, write. To the angel of the church of Philadelphia, write. To the angel of the church of Thyatira, write. Even to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, who were lukewarm and careless. The message was directed to the church through the messenger. What did the messenger bring? The words that were directed. I'm going to tell you, folks, one of the things, that's one of the reasons why the preaching of the gospel is so important. It's not nearly so important about how skilled the man may be. It's not nearly so important about how dynamic he might be or how quiet he might be. What's important is that what he brings is what God says. Then I'll let you in on a little secret. What's important is that we take what God sent and tell other people what God said about Jesus Christ. These shepherds were men of faith. Let's look at some of their steps of faith. They heard a spoken message by an angel. They were out on a hillside. It was the middle of the night. These men were not your biblical scholars that knew all of the prophets. These were your poorest of men. Now, they were legally employed, they were gainfully employed, but they were not the most highly respected on the food chain. They were shepherds. And these shepherds had not had a lot of education. And yet they received a message. They received a message from an angel. What did they do? Well, let's go get Google and look up what it might say about what it might have said about it. Let's go get on Wikipedia and see what we can find out. No. Let us go. You see, they moved based on the message. The fact of the matter is they believed what was said. Now, the word moved them to go see what had been promised. They weren't looking for just a sightseeing cruise. They were looking for what God had promised them. Faith doesn't just look around. Faith looks for the fulfillment of God's promise. Faith, if you remember, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's the evidence of a work of grace in your life that you can't write and draw a picture of. It's a gift of God. But it looks for the fulfillment of God's promise. They found just what they'd been told, and then they told these same things to others. You see, folks, it was one thing for them to believe what the angel said. It was one thing for them to say, okay, we've heard it, now let's go see it. But it was another thing altogether for those same men to take back off and go back to their flocks. They went back to where they came from, but they went on to their homes, they went on to their town. And what did they talk about? The excitement? The brightness? No, they talked about what they had been told. Beloved, God tells us exactly what we need to hear about Jesus Christ. God tells us in His Word everything we need to hear about Jesus Christ. We don't need to change it. We don't need to embellish it. We don't need to renew it. We need to go tell it. We sing the song, Go Tell It on the Mountain. There ain't many mountains around North Florida. How about go tell it in the driveway? Go tell it on the doorstep. Go tell it across the backyard fence. Go tell it in Winn-Dixie. Go tell it at Walmart. Go tell it at the car wash. Well, what am I supposed to tell? What God said about Jesus Christ. See, brothers and sisters, we are given His Word. Psalm 138, verses 1 and 2. I will praise Thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise to Thee. I will worship toward Thy holy temple and praise Thy name for Thy loving kindness and for Thy truth. For Thou hast magnified Thy Word above all Thy name. Now folks, don't run where that verse don't go. Okay? I've heard people take that verse and try to use it to say, oh, you've got to do this according to the Word in order to be born again. You've got to do this in order to get saved. You've got to do this in order to have life. If you don't do this, listen, none of that is there. In fact, exactly the opposite of that is there. God's name is great above every name, but God has magnified His Word above His name. What does He mean by that? God has caused His Word to be seen in such a way that we may understand His name. His Word doesn't define His name, but His Word introduces us to His name. His Word introduces us to the truths about Him. His Word causes us to see the one that we're looking for. John, I didn't write this down, didn't put it on the scroll, but John the Baptist was in jail. And John sent his disciples, some of his followers, to Jesus. And John's question was, are you the one that we're looking for, or should we look for somebody else? Now, how did Jesus answer? You go show John. The lame walk. The blind receive their sight. The dumb talk. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. Now, why did Jesus say that? Go show John. Well, go tell him there's miracles. No, it's not just miracles. It is exactly what God had foretold that the Messiah would do. Here's the one you look for because this is what God said. He magnified His Word. He magnified it through an angel. Today is born to you a Savior. And that Savior is Christ the Lord. And you'll find Him in a wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger in Bethlehem. You see, God was very specific. God doesn't leave it up to us to figure out what we think He means. His Word is very specific to us about what He has revealed to us, how we are to know Him, what we are to look for. But there's one other thing that we need to understand about that Word. When we understand it, when we hear it, faith is not the issue of our feelings or our preference. Faith is the matter of the truth of what God said. How do I know it? John chapter 6, verse 44, Jesus said, "No man cometh unto me except my Father which is in heaven draw him." No man comes to Jesus Christ. You're not going to believe the Word of God except Jesus said, except the Father draw him. And I understand that whole statement means without exception. It doesn't happen any other way but that God draws you to His Word. But when He draws you to His Word, the thing that you're to focus on is not how I felt in my heart. What somebody else said, what somebody else thought I looked like, what other experiences. What we're to focus on is the things that we are told about Jesus Christ. Mary, Joseph was told, Mary was going to have a son. They would call his name Jesus, for he would save his people. That's why Peter would later on say, there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. You see, folks, that's what we've been told about Jesus Christ. Jesus was born, and he was born of a virgin. He was born and laid in a manger. I'll tell you something else we're told about him. He died on a cross, crucified by the Romans. But he died for your sin and mine. And the one that was born in a manger and that died on a cross was laid in a grave, but he didn't stay in the grave. He came out of that grave on the morning of the third day. Well, how do I know that? Because the Bible tells you the truth. And you see, folks, that is the message that you and I, first of all, it's the message we need to hear and believe. When Jesus said, take your cross and follow me, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. When He tells us what we are to do and why we are to do it, then we ought to go tell somebody else what He told us. You see, the shepherds talked about not just what they had seen, not just what they had been shown, but what they were told. Because our faith today, the faith of the shepherds. What was the object of that faith? It was what they had been told. Brothers and sisters, I'll tell you that each one of us ought to be challenged during this Christmas season that if God by His grace has enabled us to see the babe lying in a manger, that pastoral, nice, neat little scene, we've got it all figured out what it might have looked like. We have one very lovely setting here in front of us. You'll find a lot of other settings. I don't know what it looked like. Except the baby was in a manger and he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. But guess what? That's all I need to know. Why? Because that baby is the Savior. And in a world that's lost in sin, in a world that's in darkness, the one thing we need to say is that there is one who is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Those men were great examples of faith. They weren't wealthy, they weren't well known, but they were examples of faith. We may never be wealthy. We may never be well known. But our faith is demonstrated as we take the things that we're told in the Scriptures about Jesus Christ and carry them to tell those same messages to somebody else. The joy of the shepherds. They went talking about what they'd seen and what they'd heard and what they had been told.
May God help us in the same way to go and tell. Is my prayer for Christ's sake. May the Lord bless.